How is everybody doing today? Awesome. All right, well, turn around, give someone a high five, tell them you're glad to see them, and you can have a seat.
Hey, you.
Yeah. Ooh.
All right, we just want to give everybody a huge welcome this morning. We're so glad that you all come out to worship Jesus this morning here at Believers. We're especially glad for our first-time guests here today. Let's give them a big hand. Awesome. If this is your very first time, we do want to give you a big welcome. If you have any questions, if you see anybody wearing one of these serve team tags, you can ask them questions and they have answers. All right. So if you see anybody have any questions, grab one of those guys and they can take care of you. Also, we have a welcome center out in the foyer where you can we have a information packet about our church. And if it's your first time, we want to give you a gift for coming out today. We do greatly appreciate you coming today. All right. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings this morning. We have buckets in this aisle for these two sections and right down this aisle for this section here. The tithes and offerings today is for our home crowd. We don't expect our first-time guests to give today unless you just want to. We don't expect you to, so no pressure there. If you want to pass those buckets down, they have tithe envelopes and pins in there. Just pass them to the end of the aisle. We'll pray and pass them back to this aisle, and our ushers will pick them up right there. One quick thing that I just want to encourage everybody on. For all you regular folks, we are starting a new kids check-in system. Next week is called Kid Check, and the reason why we're doing this because we want your kids secure while they're here at our church. We want to make sure that we know where your kids are and you know where your kids are, and we're not going to give them to somebody who's not you. And so if you come here on a regular basis, we want to encourage everybody this week when you have time at home to go to kidcheck.com and sign up for a free parent account. And basically what you do, you give them your name, a phone number, put your kids' information in there. It takes about 5 minutes, and it's got a place where you can upload pictures of yourself and your kids. Nobody is going to have access to this information. It is a very secure system that we're going to be using, so you don't have to worry about that. We really want to encourage you to upload those pictures, because basically what happens is when you show up that day, you're going to come to a computer, you're going to put in your telephone number, and it's going to pull up all your information about your kids. You're going to check them into their classrooms. It's going to print name tags for your kids. If you need an extra one for like a diaper bag or something like that, we'll print that as well. And it'll print you a guardian tag. So when you go to pick up your kids, you bring that guardian tag. And there's a number on there that matches up to a number on your child's name tag. And that way we know who to give the kids to. If you happen to lose that that guardian tag, what we're going to have to do is go to that computer, pull up your account, and look at the pictures and verify, you know, who everybody is and make sure we got the right people. And so, you know, we just want to encourage you to go ahead and do that this week. So when we launch that next Sunday, that we'll be ready to go and won't have a lot of waiting on that. We're really excited about it. So kidcheck.com, we'll post a link out on our website and on our Facebook page to help you find that. All right, let's pray over our offering. Father, thank you so much, God, for Easter, God, that we can celebrate what Jesus Christ did for us, that he lived, God, that he died on the cross for our sin, for our mistakes, God, and that he rose again on the third day, God, and that we can live for you today, God. Thank you so much for that, God, and we just want to celebrate that today, God, and we want to celebrate as we give today, God, knowing that as we give, God, that you'll be able to use that to change people's lives, God, here in this area, God, and all around the world, Father. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you are doing, Lord. And just thank you as we give. We know that you bless your people. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you glad for the resurrection today? That's the reason you're here. That's the reason you're a Christian today, is because of what he did in his life, death, burial, and resurrection. We're here today to celebrate that. And, you know, we honor the Lord. We should honor him every day, and many people do. But this is a special day for the church because we celebrate the resurrection. And but you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus made a day about us. We call it Good Friday. I don't know why we call it Good Friday, because there wasn't very much good about it. It was a very hard day for him. But it's a day that he made about us. In fact, the Bible tells us that when he was crucified, we too were crucified. I want to read a verse to you. And we're doing a little bit different service today. We have five testimonies of people that have been affected by the resurrection of Christ. And here's Galatians 2:19. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working to please God. It didn't work. So I quit being a law man so that I could be God's man. Christ showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living now is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God. I refuse to do that, to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could only be by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. We have five people today that are going to be sharing their story. I want to tell you, it takes a lot of courage to bear your soul before a group of people. Some that you know and some that you don't know. And I admire these people for a willingness to do that. And they're doing it for one reason. Not to be recognized. Not to be recognized, but so that you might see God's grace in their lives. Before we show that video, we want to go ahead and dismiss our Crossroads, our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. Let's give them a good hand. Good crowd. We almost forgot to do that. The first person that's going to be sharing is somebody that you see here anytime the door is open. You know, you see people, you know about. Would y'all turn that light off out there, please? The hallway light. Thank you. You see people around all the time, and you know, you get to know them, but you know a little bit, very little about their background. And this is a guy that you see every time the door's open. Anytime we're doing something, he's here helping do it. And it's Eric. So enjoy this testimony.
Hi, my name's Eric, and I was raised in an abusive home. My stepdad was extremely abusive to me and my sisters. I guess it was kind of a disciplinary thing. You know, we did wrong. You know, most people might get grounded or put in a corner or whatever, you know, where we were beaten with, you know, many things ranging from rose bushes to broomsticks, belt, whatever. I mean, whatever was closest, easy access, I guess you could say. So that kind of thing happens to people. It kind of leads them into one of two directions. You know, you can go with lashing out and becoming overbearing, you know, and then there's the other side where you can back off, become timid, and that's kind of the path that I took. I was always the shy kid, the timid kid, the one who didn't want to say anything to hurt anyone's feelings or say anything that might cause a confrontation. You know, and as I kept growing up in life, I got to where I felt like I needed acceptance. So, you know, I would do things for acceptance. You know, we started to do the, you know, just like every kid, I guess, party scene, the drinking. You know, I never really got into drugs, and, you know, I always say that that's thanks to my stepdad, because, you know, that's what he was into. He was into drugs, and I didn't want a part of that. I didn't want to be anything like him. You know, we tried to go to church after I got married and, you know, pretend and do the, yeah, we're a Christian thing, and then party on the weekends, and, you know, it's okay as long as you go to church. And then my grandpa decided he wanted his whole family to come to church, and it just happened to be at this one. And so, of course, we had to agree, because, you know, when somebody invites you to come to church with them, you know, you kind of feel obligated. So we came, and it was awesome. I mean, it was not anything we were used to. I mean, they had live music, you know, drums, guitar, everything. I mean, it was just something completely different. It was actually on a biker Sunday, so there was motorcycles everywhere, and I mean, it was just not normal church. And I think that's what appealed to us most. I mean, I kind of come to this kind of church as a kid. You know, didn't really pay much mind to it, and come back, and I really felt connected. So over time, you know, we started volunteering and getting plugged in, you know, and the amazing thing was, I mean, no matter you know, all the whatever, you know, whatever I'd been through, whatever I'd done, you know, all that stuff didn't matter. Because, you know, people here see me as who they see me as now, not, they don't judge me by what I did. They don't judge me by what I had done. So it makes it easy to grow that way. You know, when people just give you their room to grow. I feel like, you know, that God spoke to me through my grandpa, you know, and he said, hey, come to church. So it's, sometimes it's just that simple. Started coming to church, like I said, and it got to where I had to make a decision. I had to decide if I was going to pretend to be at church like I did before, or if I was going to be completely real. And so I did. You know, I decided. I seen, you know, some of my friends who were in a Christian band at the time, and went and seen them at a concert, and then, and in the middle of this concert, the guy, lead singer, gets down on his knees and just starts screaming out to God, just screaming a prayer to God in front of all these people, 300 or 400 people. And I'm standing there in the crowd, you know, and I'm thinking, man, I'm not sure if I want to be a real Christian by myself, and then this guy's telling everybody. So at that moment, you know, it's kind of like a check in my inside of me, you know, it said, hey, you know, you're going to be real or you're going to be fake? So to myself, I mean, I believe that's when I actually changed. That's when I actually got saved. Because that's when I actually decided to do it. Instead of just saying the words, I actually felt it inside that I was going to change. So, I mean, what's God brought me through? I mean, he brought me through all the abuse and all the things that tie into that. I want, you know, you to sit here and think that because I was in a abusive relationship or I was in an abusive home that I'll never amount to anything, or that the cycle will have to carry on. You know, I'll have to beat my kids too, because, I mean, you don't. You know, and I feel like God helped me with that, you know, that I did not want to be another link in the chain, another follower that done the same thing over and over. So I just give God the glory, because without him I wouldn't be anywhere close to where I am today. So I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Oh, set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains.
My name is Blake, and for the better half of my 31-year life, I've struggled with addiction. And so for the last 15 years, I've tried unsuccessfully to fix my own problems. And in doing that, I completely trashed a perfectly good future. I alienated myself from my family and people who were healthy for me. Basically did everything that I could to sabotage my own self. I moved to Arkansas about 9 years ago from being homeless in Tennessee. And I came here and my relationship with my family hadn't changed any more than any at all from the move from Tennessee to 30 miles from them here in Batesville. Being close didn't help at all. Matter of fact, it hurt things a fair bit. When I came to Arkansas, my addiction changed gears from cocaine and marijuana to methamphetamine. And I lived that way for 9 years. Living in a meth addiction, you steal from people and do horrible things that you don't think any person would be capable of. One day I ran across one of my friends that I'd had in my addiction, and he said that there was this place called Celebrate Recovery that I could come to on Fridays to help me whoop it. And I've been here ever since. It's been a year and a half or so, and I've put in a year clean. God gave me those things. I didn't feel like my life was worth giving away, so I made my life worth something. I served to the best of my ability and did the things that I thought made a good man. And then I gave my life to the Lord. And I've loved it ever since, because I feel love in my heart every day. There's still trials, and there's still times of want, but I don't let them overcome me anymore, because I have help. I have help like I never had from family or friends. Unworldly help. Christ has saved my life, and He has saved my life in this church. And I thank you as a church body for that.
Blake, today do you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord?
I do.
That He died for your sins?
I do.
You've repented of your sins, and you vow to live the rest of your life for Christ and Christ alone?
I have.
Open your mouth. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
next song we're going to sing is called One and Only, and it's a song that wasn't necessarily written for Easter, but it's who Easter is all about. It's a song about Jesus and that he is the one and only, and he's the way, the truth, and the light. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen.
Hi, my name is John Schroeder, and this is my wife, Emily. We wanted to share our testimony today. We were married for 3 years, and during that time, we both had issues. I had an alcohol problem, and seemed to do my best to mess our marriage up and our family. We both had children from previous marriages, and we had a daughter together, and my alcohol problem really, really caused us a lot of issues in our marriage. And then my wife also had some issues that...
Yeah, I had a problem with prescription medication. I abused it. The more unhappier I was, the more pain pills I would take, or the more diet pills I would take, or the more drink I would drink, and would end up working long hours at work and staying away from my family, which didn't help our situation whatsoever. And during that time, we really fell apart, didn't we? And our marriage fell apart. That we had no direction whatsoever. And the children suffered. And we suffered as parents for the children. And ended up in a very long, ugly divorce that took 2-3 years, 3 years that we ended up fighting in court.
No, it was 1 year.
Oh, 1 year. Felt like three. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, it was a long, ugly divorce. Just a nightmare. We both did our best to ruin each other. I wound up in jail at one point. But also, the best thing happened. Also, I got saved during this time. I had hit rock bottom in my life. Asked for help from Jesus Christ, and of course, He saved me. And that was the beginning, a long time ago, of bringing our marriage back together. I remember not long after I got saved how much that I wished I could have gone back in time and we could have both got saved when we were married before. But that's not the way it happened, and I couldn't control Emily anymore. We were divorced, and but it at least allowed us to become friends again sometime after our divorce.
We did become friends again, and many times John invited me to come to church, and I wasn't ready to make that move yet. I was quite comfortable living by myself and still doing some of the things that I used to do. And finally, I think everything that he had prayed for me, and a lot of other people actually were praying for me that I didn't even know about until after I got saved. And I remember just it eating at me like a poison, and not being able to, you know, getting up in the morning and just that empty feeling of just wondering if I was going to be by myself the rest of my life. And I finally started coming to church, and I finally gave myself back to the Lord in the living room of a house that I was living at. I just couldn't take anymore. It was just eating at me like poison. And John and I did a lot of talking over the phone, and he would tell me that he was praying for me, and I started learning a little bit about this new life that I had begun. And before we knew it, we started having feelings for each other again. And God took us down a path that I really was unsure, and I kept praying, you know, God, if this is your will, open a door. If not, please close it, like, quickly. Because I don't want to do this again. You know, both of our families have been completely erupted during our divorce, and it was very ugly. So we prayed about it, and then we started praying about it together, and then we started hanging out with each other. And obviously our daughter was very happy that we were spending all this time together, and kind of moved on a Christian walk, and realized all the mistakes that we have made when we were married before.
We remarried in June 24th of 2010, and it's been a lot different this time. Yeah, it's not smooth sailing, just like Christian life isn't always smooth sailing, neither is a marriage, even centered around God. We still have a tendency to mess it up ourselves and to try to be selfish again and other things, but with God's help, and you know, with the church family that He's blessed us with, we've just had so much help and been able to deal with issues differently, and it really has been a wonderful life since then. And it's it's truly a blessing. It really is. And to know that our daughter and our new daughter that we have now in this marriage is to know that that they're going to be secure and they're going to be raised the way God designed the family to be raised.
My advice to anybody out there that's having marriage problems or anything else, to pray for your spouse. Pray with your spouse. And God will work in your marriage like you have never seen before, because He has ours. And it truly is a miracle what we have been through together as a couple. And I'm glad that we are walking in faith and doing what we are doing as a family now. And I couldn't imagine ever living without God in our marriage, ever. And I never want to go back to that again.
I love stories like that. I know as a pastor, throughout my 35 years of pastoring, I have seen way too much divorce. God hates divorce. But let me tell you something else. He loves those who have been victims. And if you've been through a divorce, you're a victim. And God loves you. No matter what you have done or where you've been, God loves you. And that's what we need to know. And that's what we need to stand on. I had the great privilege on June the 24th, 2010, in my office, of doing the wedding ceremony for John and Emily. They sat on my couch and I sat in a chair in front of them, and I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to lead you in vows. I want you, out of your heart, to say your vows to each other. And they did, and they cried, and guess who else cried? But it was a beautiful time to see that reconciliation. See, God is all about reconciliation. He's all about new life, and He's all about fresh starts. I want to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it talks about our decision to receive Christ. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. That's one thing I like about this church. People come in here with tattoos and spiked hair and green hair and purple hair, and from all walks of life, good and bad and up and down and rich and poor. And we try not to judge people by what we look like or how they look. It says we looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong. It's so easy to judge people wrongly, as you know. We certainly don't look at Him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. Say that with me. Fresh start. Is created new. The old life is gone. New life versions. Look at it. All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and Him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with Him through the Messiah, giving the world a, what's that word? Fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what He's doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We are speaking for Christ Himself now. I love this last phrase. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. See, I don't care what your spiritual state is today. Saved, lost, fixed, broken, somewhere in between. God loves you. He wants to be your friend. He already considers you a friend with Him. Our next testimony, I believe, will touch your heart. And this was very difficult for her to share. And I believe it'll minister and speak to you. This is Robin.
Hi, my name is Robin, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. There was a time in my life when I was so selfish. It was all about what I wanted, my desires, my wants. They came before everything else, before everybody else in my life, before my husband, before my children. And to be honest, what I wanted was drugs. I was broken, and I had no love to give my family, to give my sweet babies. This isn't easy to talk about. There's a lot of shame and guilt associated with my past and who I was and my selfishness. But God has made sure that I know that His forgiveness for me is complete. That it not only covers my sin, but it covers the shame and guilt of that sin. He tells me in Romans 8 that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit has set me free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation, no sense of guilt in me if I am in Jesus. And He did this through His Son, Jesus. He also tells me in Romans 3 that with undeserved kindness, God declares me not guilty. He declares me righteous and right standing with Him. And He did this through His Son, Jesus, by freeing me from the penalty of my sins. Again, it's through Jesus. Scripture makes it clear that the only way I'm right with God is because of Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. So thankful that He not only took my sin, but He took the shame and guilt of that sin. Not only has He washed me white, but He has given me a new love, a new passion for my children, for my husband. I desire nothing more than to see them be used by God, to show them, to live in front of them the ways of God, the truth, so that they may learn to live those ways. I actually want what God wants. My prayer and purpose as a mother is to point them to Jesus, to help them to fall so in love with Jesus that they may find their purpose in His kingdom for His glory. What a dramatic change God brought in my life. Taking me from wanting drugs, wanting my own selfishness, to wanting what He wanted, to wanting His will for my children, and the love He has given me for my children. I love my children so much, and I love my family so much. In Timothy, Paul writes, I'm reminded of your sincere faith that lived in your grandmother, that lived in your mother, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. Timothy's mother was credited for passing on her faith to Timothy. She helped to pour into Timothy, to help shape him for his future, for his work in the kingdom of God. The same truth applies to me as a mother today. I get to help pour into my children, to pass my faith on to them. Wow, what an amazing call of God to mother, to partner with God in pouring into my children and to helping them find their purpose in His kingdom for His glory. And to think, I almost missed this call. It wasn't too late for me, and it's not too late for you. One of the biggest lies the enemy tries to tell us is that I'm the only one going through something. Am I the only mother who would have put her selfish desires, her drug use, before her children? I am not. The enemy is a liar. I am not alone in my weaknesses and struggles. We are not alone. You are not alone in your weaknesses and struggles. All you have to do is come to Him, and He will give you the change that you desire.
Isn't that good? God's grace. It's sufficient. We say all of the time around here, we don't care where you've been. We don't care what you've done. The only thing that matters is where are you now? Where are you going? Your past is not important, but your future is. And I want to read a scripture that tells you how you begin this walk of faith that we're talking about. Because it's all about what we're celebrating today. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, it's all about Him. It's not about us. How do we come into this faith? Romans 10:8 tells us that the word that saves is right here. As near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master, or Jesus is Lord. Embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead, that's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God's setting things right, and then you say it out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. We have one more testimony. Again, I think that this testimony will touch your heart. I call this From Prison to Praise. And this is Ron.
My name is Ron. I'm from Arizona. I come from a family of alcoholics. My parents got divorced when I was a year old. I was raised around siblings. I was 5 years younger than my next sibling, and they all introduced me to marijuana and drugs. I was tossed around from home to home with my aunts and uncles, foster homes, my mother, my father. So I was introduced to drugs and alcohol at a very young age. And when I was 14, I started doing drugs and drinking on a regular basis. By the time I was 17, I had a syringe in my arm shooting heroin and meth and cocaine. And it's pretty graphic, but it is what it is. And I heard of the Lord when I was younger. I was baptized and saved. My grandmother prayed for me all the time, unceasingly prayed for me. And she was a wonderful woman of God. She was the light in my life, probably the only light. And so anyways, my childhood came and went, and I proceeded to drink and do drugs throughout my adult life. I started stealing. I went in and out of prison most of my life. I was either in prison, county jails, or using drugs. And I had two children. I gave them up so I could do heroin and meth and do what I wanted to do. And it hurt really bad because I didn't want to do that, but I had no choice because I had to have my drugs. And I separated from my wife and kids, and they moved out here. I was still in Arizona, and I struggled to try to get clean. And without the God, I did not try God. I struggled in and out of rehabs. I would stay there for just a few days, and I'd be back to doing drugs again. I finally come out here to Batesville because this is where my wife and moved out here to be with her family, and I moved out here to try to get clean, to be with my kids. I went through Wilbur D. Mills detox. I detoxed, and my wife and kids and her mom let me move in with them. I thought I was going to get clean, but I didn't. I continued to get high here in Batesville, and I got kicked out of my home with my wife and kids, thus breaking my kids and my wife's heart. And I went to county jail here in Batesville for 11 months. And in county jail, I got down on my hands and knees and I prayed to God. I said, God, I can't take it anymore. I've had enough. I can't. This whirlwind of my life that is dragging everybody down that comes in contact with me, I can't take it anymore. And I read my Bible every day in jail. I got out of jail. I got out of jail, walked out there. First person I see was somebody who had drugs and alcohol. And I got high. And I was driving to see my probation officer, and there was my wife. I was at the stop sign, ready to make a right turn to go to my probation officer. And there was my wife behind me in a car that I hadn't seen for probably 14 months, who didn't want to have nothing to do with me. And I got out of the car, and I was high at that time. And I got in the car with my wife. She took me to my probation officer. And God, at that moment, come into my heart and my life. And I have been clean and sober since. And he had restored my family. He has brought my kids back in my life. I have come to church. I am plugged in at CR. I'm on praise and worship team. And this is, I have been nothing my whole life. Hopeless. Anybody you ask in my life from the past would say it was not possible. But all things are possible through Christ. And Christ has restored my family. He has healed my life and my soul and my heart. And I have a hope now. And I just want to praise Jesus Christ, who is my Savior and Lord. And he has given me hope. And he has brought my family back into my life. And that is my testimony. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to, my mom is in Arizona. She's watching online. And I just wanted to tell her that I love her. And I haven't seen her for 4 years. And she's an awesome woman. And you're in my prayers. And I love you, Mom.
I love the line in the song. It says, show them your scars, because it's the proof. You can be seated. Show them your scars. It's the proof. And that's what you've seen today. You've seen some scars. You've seen the brutal reality of what life can do to people. What abuse can do. What drugs can do. What happens with divorce. Those are realities that the world lives in every day. But you know, the good news is there's a fresh start. There is an answer. It's a fresh start with Jesus. And we're here for two reasons today. First of all, as believers, we're here to celebrate what God has done in our lives. You have seen what God has done in five different lives. And it's hard to get up and bear your soul. See, one of the things that people deal with when they share their testimony is, will I be judged? Will people look down on me because I've been in prison? I didn't love my children the way that I should. I was abused or all kinds of things. Will I be judged? Well, you know, the truth of the matter is, your sin was judged 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross. And that price has been paid. And God has declared you friend. And all you have to do is accept that to get a fresh start with Him. And that's what we're all about here today, is fresh starts. There came a time in my life that I needed a fresh start. I needed to accept Christ into my life. So I want to ask the question today. Do you need a fresh start with God? I'm not talking about just praying a prayer and forgetting about it. I'm talking about a fresh start. A start that begins a journey today. But that start begins with a prayer. It doesn't end with a prayer. It begins with a prayer. But today we want to pray with people who want to take that first step. So I want to ask you to bow your heads here today. We had several people in the first service that prayed this prayer. If you're here today and for any reason you need a fresh start with God, I'm not going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come stand up here. We're going to pray a prayer. You can sit right where you're at. But if you need a fresh start with God today and you'd like to pray a prayer that I'm going to lead the whole congregation, I want you to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I need a fresh start today. I see one hand. Anybody else? I see other hands. Other hands? Anybody else? Several hands all over the place. Well, I want to lead you in a prayer today. And I want you to pray this out loud. But mostly I want you to pray from your heart. Pray out of your need today. I'm going to invite everybody to pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, come on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to pay the price for my sins. He was raised for my justification. And Lord, today I need a fresh start. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Make me new. And give me a fresh start. I thank you for hearing my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them a good hand. All of those that prayed that for the first time, we're fixing to dismiss the service, but there's one thing I want to say. If you prayed that prayer today for a fresh start with God, I've got people that are going to be standing up here after the service. I've got a little book that I'd like to give to you. This is for people who prayed the prayer to get right with God. It's called Seven Basics, Strong Roots for Every Christian. This talks about the next step. You remember I said a fresh start begins with an initial step. There are other steps that need to be taken. Not to get saved, but to live the life that God has for you. God's got a plan for your life. And it begins with you making certain steps. And this is a step. This book will help you grow as a Christian. And if you would like one of these when we dismiss the service, would you come up here and talk to these people up here? They're not going to try to get you to do anything crazy. Just say, I would like a book. Introduce yourself to these people, and they'll talk to you for a minute, and then we'll give you that book. Let's stand together. I'm so thankful to God for two things. Number one, that you're here. I don't believe you were here by accident today. Number two, for the people who shared their stories today. I just think they did an awesome job. And for all of our volunteers who have helped make this a great day at Believers. Thank you for being here today. You're dismissed.